They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining us today on the Commons, I have my old friend Jan Bergman with me, all the way from freezing cold Florida. Would you believe it? It is cold down there. It's freezing down there. Got news for you. It's freezing up here, too. Jan, thank you for warming up the airwaves with me from freezing Florida to freezing Virginia.
Well, thanks for having me. And, it will get warmer, according to the weather report, real fast.
It's going to get warmer, is it?
Yes.
When it's spring.
It is, but, you know, the weatherman is like a politician. You know, they lie when their lips are moving.
And I think that's true. I talked to Alexa. Alexa, what's the temperature going to be tomorrow? Or what's it going to be today? Oh, it's going to be cold, too.
Okay.
So don't tell me that, Alexa. Tell me when it's going to be spring. Oh, when the equinox comes along. And oh, shut up.
So, your garden will show, because then everything starts getting green and like spring looking. So that's fine.
I can't wait for that, Jan. I can't The sun. We've had so much rain before the winter, the ice and the snow and all the other garbage came. So the ground is nice and wet. So the plants should have enough water to bloom. So it should be, I'm hoping, I've got my fingers crossed, it should be a really, really nice summer and spring and everything else that we're all waiting for, that we hope that will come and just make it gorgeous again.
That's the idea.
That's the idea.
Get us back to normal here.
Yeah, none of this global...
Florida, thank God it is, more or less. You know, when I see what happens in other states, I'm glad I'm in Florida, believe me.
You're glad you're in Florida.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you're in Florida, too, because I like having you and Julio on to tell us what's going on in Florida. You both have your fingers on the pulse of Florida, and a lot of good things start in Florida. And so I want you to share with us some of the stuff that's happening in Florida. You have
We have in the moment the legislative session, which is 2 weeks old and will last 2 months. So a lot of good bills have been filed, mostly bills that kind of refer to the collapse of the Champlain Flower South, you know, improving, inspections, improving maintenance, improving reserve funds, and having the necessary money to pay for the necessary maintenance and repairs. And we have one bill which would finally create an HOA condo ombudsman with quite a lot of power, you know, and hopefully under the umbrella of our Attorney General, because our division of condominiums is absolutely useless, and it wouldn't really help to put them under the ombudsman under there, because something that doesn't work just doesn't work. You can add to it whatever you want. What doesn't work doesn't work. So we have a lot of bills running, but they're still in the beginning of the session, so we will see what develops. I hope, and it kind of looks like we get some very good owner-friendly bills passed. I mean, I know that many condo owners wouldn't like the idea, especially of mandatory reserve funds, but, you know, they have to understand that maintenance and repairs are necessary, as much in a single-family home as even more in a condo building, especially if the building is 40 years old and 30 years old and things have to be done. And then there are no reserve funds. And then comes the big special assessment, which quite a few people can't pay. And then we start with liens and foreclosures and kicking people out of their homes again. That is not the idea of condo living, in my opinion. And anybody who buys a $700,000 condo unit should be able to pay $150 more a month to pay for reserves for future repairs and maintenance. But they all want everything for free, and that is not working.
You know, Jan, I've been hearing for years and years and years that people don't want to pay for reserves, and I could never understand that, because where I live, you have reserves, it's part of what you pay, and there's no, would you like to pay? No, you have to pay. I mean, it's just part of what you pay for, and you fund the reserves. I was on the board. I was on the finance committee. I've always maintained that you really and truly have got to fund the reserves, because I personally do not want someone coming in with a special assessment. I can't afford a special assessment. I want to make sure that all the money is there that we're going to need. But a lot of people didn't like it, and a lot of the industry people and some advocates have said people don't want to pay the reserves. And I go, you don't have a choice. What do you mean people don't want to pay the reserves? But apparently in some states it's not mandatory. In some states, it's up to the homeowners.
Well, neither is it here in the moment. You know, in the moment here, the owners can vote to not fund the reserves,
right,
or only half fund the reserves. It's up to them, you know, and it's done. And you see at this horrible tragedy in Surfside what happened. You know, they finally had to pay more or less $15 million for structural repairs and necessary maintenance. They found that out 2 years ago. They didn't have the reserves. They had $700,000 in the reserves, which wouldn't have even paid the down payment for the contractor. You know, so they were fighting for 2 years over how to pay it, and they even recalled the board and put another board in and all kinds of things. Repairs were not done, and about 6 weeks before the collapse, the president sent out a letter demanding a special assessment to pay for these repairs. And some of the unit owners had up to a $70,000 special assessment to pay.
Wow.
I tell you, many of them couldn't have done it. And then the lawyers lick their chops, because here come lien, here come foreclosure, here comes all kinds of good money for attorneys that doesn't do any good to any owner or to any association. And then the place collapsed and killed 98 people, you know. So, but now the thing is, now they're fighting about the money. You know, the survivors and the relatives of the victims and so on, they're fighting about the money. The judge, who had actually good intentions, wanted to have a quick solution to that, you know, to distribute the money, because the people, who lived there and were suddenly without a home and survived, needed money to buy something else and to live something else, somewhere else, and so on. And now it's already, now that the trial is set for next March, because a lot of people filed lawsuits, a lot of lawyers filed lawsuits, their class action lawsuits, and they sue everybody and everyone for damages, and I don't think it will be solved next year or this year, because whatever happens, there will be appeals filed and you name it. And there is not much, enough money to go around in the first place. You know, they sue the building department, they sue the law firm, in my opinion, rightfully so. But this is a total mess, and we are trying to find to create statutes that will prevent these kind of problems and actually disasters again. You know. And the people who are claiming, oh, reserve funds, you know, they spend it for everybody and then some. Well, there is a bill filed that will create, call it a scam embezzlement task force, as well under the umbrella of the Attorney General, which will go after everybody who abuses money, misuses money, and, for example, takes money away from the reserve funds and pays for other things with these reserve funds, which were specialized, like for roof or whatever, right, or structural repairs. So that should take out the problem of reserves being abused or misused for other purposes than intended. But things have to be done, and you know, we don't want to see this again. You know, people feel unsafe because now building departments come down on these associations who so far failed to do 30 and 40 year certifications as required, and we have seen people getting kicked out of their homes and the whole condominium buildings being evacuated because the building departments put red tags on their doors and said, you're out of here. You know, because many of these older buildings just failed to do the necessary maintenance and repairs.
You know what I keep thinking? I'm listening to you talk, and there are more problems that keep coming up and more problems that people have to deal with. And all people wanted was a home, somewhere where they could call their own, somewhere where they could raise their families, be safe, and lock the door to the outside world. And that is not working. That
no,
is
not.
A fail.
And see, they are being promised easy living. It's a big seller for condos, right? Believe me, there's nothing more difficult than living in a condo. Because you're dealing with all kinds of complications. You're often dealing with people who may have good intentions but don't have the knowledge to manage these kind of buildings and to take care of them and see that everything is done correctly. You know, and there are problems. You know, I get about 80 emails a day on average, and everybody complains.
Yeah, it's a flawed concept.
I think in the years, I got 3 emails telling me, oh, I live in a nice association, everything is fine here.
You know, just because they personally don't have a problem doesn't mean that nobody else in the association has a problem. I used to run into that all the time. And some people would say, oh, shit, there's nothing wrong with this. Everything's working just fine. And their next-door neighbors would say, well, that's a bunch of baloney. You know, they refuse to do this, and we have to do that. And, you know, it's not fine. It's a flawed concept. And I have been saying that this association living is a flawed concept, and I have had so many people tell me I'm so full of it because there's nothing flawed about it. But, Jan, we have nothing but problems. It's not...
Well, the only ones who really profit from it are the so-called service providers.
You are absolutely correct. And the thing is, why, if it was such a wonderful concept and if it was so well received by the people, why do you have to lie to people to get them to buy into them? The whole thing is based on a lie.
Yeah. Well, you're right, and I mean, you can see that there must be a lot of problems because we have more than 260 specialized attorneys here in Florida alone who do nothing but dealing with problems in associations.
That they created in the first place.
And they all live well, believe me.
Yeah.
You know, I have had attorneys turning, paying clients down because they couldn't take care of the workload. What does it tell you?
Yeah, it is a flawed concept. And I
easy
think
living? Definitely not.
No problems. Somebody's going to take care of the problems for you.
Yeah, but I have to say one thing. In some way, I as well blame the owners. The owners come in. They don't want to deal with all these association politics. They close their door and more or less hope that nobody will kick in their door. And if neighbors have problems, we don't want to hear about it, you know? And in the end, the owners would have powers to remove bad boards, you know? But they don't.
They complain. It's nasty.
I get calls, our president said this and this. Isn't that wrong? I said, the statutes say otherwise. Say he can't do that. You know, so you have to tell him at the next meeting that he can't do that. And this are the statutes, and you read him the statutes, and this is it. You know what I'm being told? Oh, can't you come by and at our next meeting and tell them, because I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't want to do that, you know, then it's your problem, and nobody else will solve it for you.
I had a guy on the show here. He was a retired judge, believe it or not, and he bought in a co-op. And same, close to condominiums.
Yeah.
And the board would not let the owners talk to each other. They were not allowed to talk to each other. They were not allowed. He wanted to run for the board. And he was not allowed to campaign. He was not allowed to get proxies. He was not allowed to talk to his neighbors.
Well, that wasn't in Florida, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Because here the laws are very clear about it.
Yeah. No, it was not in Florida. But then he said, and then I said, so how do the people who get in? He says, well, they go in with proxies. I said, so they go knocking on doors? He said, no, they want us to knock on doors. I said, but you're not allowed to talk about politics with your neighbors. He says, well, if we're collecting proxies for them, then we can do it. You gotta be kidding me. So there are rules and different rules for different people, and, you know, depends on who's going to benefit from it. But people are not allowed to talk to each other. In Florida, you had the two old guys in an association who, after breakfast, would meet on somebody's front porch and they would talk, and the board kicked them out. You can't do that because you might be talking about board members and you might be talking about the problems. You know, the thing is, yeah, you can blame the owners, but I tell you what, sometimes the owners try. And quite often, it's the board members who go after them. They have unbelievable powers, or they think they have unbelievable powers. Homeowners don't know what powers they have and what powers they really don't have. And
right, and I mean, we have now a bill pending that will create mandatory seminars for board members. But I as well think that the owners should be as well required to know their rights and to know the laws and to know their obligations.
How long, how many times have you heard me on this show say, learn your rights, know your rights? I had a lady call me up, and I'm not going to go into any details, and say that she was invited to go down for lunch. What should she do? I go, why are you calling me? Go to lunch. Well, I'm not allowed to leave my room. What? I'm not allowed to leave my room. I said, go to lunch. Nobody can stop you from leaving your room. You're not a prisoner. Go to lunch. But the thing is, people don't understand this. You know, there are things that an association can do, but there are things that especially to you as an individual that they cannot do. So if some idiot who's being paid by the association tells you you cannot leave your room, don't listen to them. They don't have the authority to do that. A good thing
right,
to do is...
But you know, here is as well a problem we're facing all the time. You know, we have board members who are absolutely dictatorial.
Right.
And then they have attorneys who will do anything to keep the contract with the association and to do what the president wants.
Right.
Then you get these stupid cease and desist letters, you know, for making record requests and things like that, and then they sue them. And, you know, in my opinion, these attorneys should be punished.
They should be disbarred. I always ask them to please cite their authority, and they come blah, 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 blah. They don't know what they're doing. And the thing is, ask them to cite their authority until they give you credible authority. They don't have the authority, in my opinion.
Well, we will see in the near future how this works out, because the association law firm was the Becker law firm, the former Becker and Polyakov law firm, and who kind of, according to the lawsuit that is being filed, and they are named as defendant in some of them, they more or less prevented owners from seeing the engineer's reports and so on and so on. So we will see, despite the fact that these are so-called public records and the owners have the right to see them here in Florida, you know, and they kind of wrote these cease and desist letters, you know, trying to intimidate these people from stopping them from going for the records. You know, we will see what the judge and what the courts decide, if that is... kind of wrongdoing, and hopefully, in my opinion, the judge will find that the association attorney should follow the statutes and not trying to intimidate owners who want to have the rights to see these records. You know, so we'll see. It will be interesting. These trials will be very interesting, believe me.
Go to the original documents and look and see what it says. I'll tell you, in my documents, it says that the owners have a right to inspect all the books and records. It doesn't say you can have a copy. It says you have a right to...
Our Florida statutes clearly even spell out what you can see.
That's
spell out what you can't see.
That's not even
an argument about it.
That's the problem right there. You see, the Virginia law also, the Virginia statute also enumerated what you could see, but in my governing documents, there are no limits. I can see everything that is part of the association. Those are my rights. Whether it's, it doesn't matter. I can see everything.
Wow. You see, our statutes exempt health reports. For example, if employees have health issues or things like that, or if there is a pending lawsuit and the board discusses that with the attorney, the owner who is being sued or who is suing shouldn't have the right to see what's going on there.
You know what?
I understand all that. But, you know, our statutes even say, and any other document dealing with the management of this association. You know, so that opens the book for everything, right? And still these people get these cease and desist letters from these attorneys. You know, it's all about intimidation, and that's it. You know, and the problem still is we have here in Florida a lot of the elderly people, right? And in former times, an attorney was an honorable profession.
I'm glad you said former times. Is that no longer
so we're teachers, right?
Right.
And all that has changed a lot, and some people haven't gotten that message yet.
That is correct.
You know, and I hear very often, we had a meeting and the attorney said so. I said, look, if the attorney tells you to jump from the bridge, are you doing that as well? And then you, no. I said, so why don't you inform yourself? Because not everything the attorney says is correct.
Do your homework.
Attorneys are wrong. They're sometimes wrong because they actually lack the knowledge, or they're wrong because they knowingly misinterpret the laws. That's what you get.
Yeah, you know, I've corrected them. I've corrected attorneys.
Get smart yourself, you know. And, you know, our one education page has the headline, Knowledge is Power.
Do your homework, guys. Do your homework. Know what you have. Know what you can do. And know what the others can do. Because associations have incredible powers. But they don't have all the powers that they like to claim they have. So
right,
know
but
what
you know,
they
owners
do.
Have the power in numbers. If they're willing to unite, they have a lot of powers.
Yes, you're right.
But they don't. And I'm sorry to say, many of them are intimidated, you know.
They're scared to death.
And on the other hand, I understand it because they say, look, what are we going to do? You know, in order to get our rights, we have to file a lawsuit, you know. And if we go to an attorney to take our case, the first thing the secretary tells you is, oh, where's your retainer check for $3,000 or $5,000? And we don't have that money to spare. You know, that's why they shut up and try to forget about their own rights.
I know.
And that is wrong.
No, I know. I've heard that so many times, Jan. You believe that, right?
So did I, believe me. And everybody who is in this kind of business will hear it. That's just the way it is.
It
you
is.
Know,
but this is why one of the reasons I do the show is to let people know that that is not true. That is not true. You have rights. You have more rights than the attorneys, than the board, than anybody else. You are what is known as an owner. You
right,
are an owner, and it's your stuff that they're taking away. You do have rights. Don't let them do it. It's like, what should I do? I've been invited down to dinner. Well, why are you calling me? I'm not over there.
Right.
Why are you calling me and asking me what you should do? Well, because I'm not supposed to leave my... No, go. What should you do? Go, for God's sakes. Just go.
Yeah, what? You know, there's these association and their attorneys have many rights, but they still can't send you to Siberia, and that is still annoying them.
Well, they try. They try.
Yeah, they try your heart. When you see some of the bills they want to be filed, they really try hard, believe me.
You know, I feel sorry for this lady, but, you know, the abuse that they take in these places is just unbelievable. And then everybody says, oh, these are wonderful places, and people love them. They love their associations. No, they don't. They hate them.
Well, but you know, now comes the problem as well, because, you know, I think everybody and then some read about the collapse of the condo in Surfside.
The world over, Jan, not just everybody and some in America. The world over.
Even my German friends talk to me about it.
I heard from friends in Australia, what the hell's going on over there?
Yeah, you know, but you know, now I hear from realtors that potential buyers are asking for the financials and the reserve funds and so on before buying into condos. And realtors told me that they have issues if these condos they try to sell don't have sufficient reserve funds and have not so good financials. You know, that counts a lot. And people have to understand, if you own a condo and your reserves are fully funded, your condo is worth a hell lot more money than the condo next door in the next door association, which is the same size, same view, same everything, but has no reserve funds. This association has no reserve funds. Your unit will be sold much, much easier than anything else. And people have to understand it, that they more or less pay into a savings account, which still pays interest, unlike banks. If you pay there, you may avoid a special assessment, which in the end you can't pay. You know, we have already enough people here in Florida sleeping under the bridge who lost their homes because they couldn't pay. You know, and remember when we had Wilma in 2005, associations didn't have any reserves. They couldn't pay the deductible for the roof repairs, which were necessary, and or new roof. Then they had to levy a special assessment, and people had lost their homes because they couldn't pay the special assessment. And it is, you know, 5% deductible is a hell of a lot of money considering these condo buildings. You know, we're dealing here with $80 million worth. You know, 5% is a lot of money. You know, and if you don't have reserves, this money has to be paid for by the owners in a special assessment. And you know, nowadays banks are not as easy anymore to loan the money.
When my daughter bought her first place, it was a townhouse, and she and her husband, and I said, don't buy in an association. Well, that was kind of stupid because there's nothing that's not in an association. So I said, I want to see the governing documents. They're supposed to give you a disclosure package. Before you sign the contract, give me the disclosure package. And of course, we're these hot potatoes. We're going to buy. We don't need to have you check out our stuff.
Yeah, right.
But she brought it to me, and I'm looking through it, and I'm seeing the financial stuff that's outdated. I said, take this back to your agent and tell her that you want the stuff that's within date. These are outdated. So she goes back to her agent, and the agent says, what's your mother looking for? What's the problem with this? They had sold that house before, and they got, and you know, they got the package, the disclosure package for the first buyers. That deal fell through. I don't know what happened. So rather than buy another disclosure package, they just used the old one, which meant that the records were outdated. And I said, no, don't accept this. Tell them that you want things that are within date. And it was especially the financial records. So she goes to the agent. My mother says, we need this, and that. And the woman says, what's wrong with your mother? There's nothing wrong with it. These are, you know, they're the same papers. I said, I want the new ones. Don't you dare sign anything. But either the agent didn't know and didn't understand, or was willing to push this through on a young couple, first house, they're there on their own. And then, but the thing is, most people don't know. It's so easy to shove this stuff through. It's like a sausage factory. You put it in one end and out the other. We've got this document. Nobody looks at it. Nobody checks to see what they've got. Nobody wants to see if the dates are correct. Nobody wants to know if the information is accurate. It wasn't accurate in this case. So I sent it all back. The agent was so upset. What's wrong with your mother? What is wrong with your mother? I said, well, what is wrong with the agent? Why doesn't she know that she's supposed to provide accurate information? So you have to be careful, Jan, all over the place. You have to be careful. You have to know what you're doing. Do your homework. Because people are either...
You know, I once moved into an HOA without doing my homework, you know.
We did too.
I when we moved to Florida, you know, I believed the agent of the developer who sold us the house. My wife loved the house. And oops, it wasn't an HOA. I said, heck, what is an HOA? You know? So we talked to the agent. She was a very nice lady. And she said, look, you know, in reality, you know, you pay $50 a month, which was.
And they pick up your trash.
You know, no, and we take care of the easements, and we take care of the clubhouse and the pool, and, you know, the common areas, and, you know, we'll have a playground for the kids, and we have this, and we have this, and that is all paid from the maintenance fees. Didn't tell me that the developer has any kind of powers over how your house looks or whatever, you know. So I said, okay, you know, that's fine, and I'd love to pay $50 if you get a nice playground to get the kids off the streets, you know, because, you know, I hate kids playing on the street and running in front of your car.
Right.
No, so that was all fine. So we bought. It took me about half a year before I realized what I really gotten into. You know, we ended up in the end with 64 owners suing the developer, which didn't get us nowhere because at that time the Florida law allowed the developer to use our maintenance fees to pay his attorney.
Yep.
You know, and so finally I moved out and I will never move into any kind of association ever again.
Well, that's what happened to us. And they said, oh, and so much for the association. What association? Oh, well, they pick up your trash. I said, well, let's see. There's taxes, property taxes, yes. I said, where we come from, the property taxes paid for trash removal. Oh, we do it differently here. So we go to the settlement. The attorney says, and this is what you pay for your association fees. Again, I said, what the hell are association fees? Oh, well, they'll pick up your trash. I go, what happened to the taxes? Oh, well, we do it differently here. I mean, that's what they said.
Sure. And people don't understand that if you live, for example, in an HOA, that you are being, in a way, double taxed.
Exactly.
Because you pay your property tax exactly the same as the guy who lives outside the gate.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But then you pay your so-called maintenance fees, right? And these maintenance fees are, for example, used to do the roads, for the street lights, you know, for all kinds of things. The one outside the gate gets free of charge from the county or the city, wherever he lives in, you know, because he pays for it in his property taxes, you know. But the homeowner inside the HOA pays the property taxes plus the maintenance fees. And, you know, for example, trash removal, I get it not for free because I pay property taxes. But the homeowner inside the association, and we have a few here in the neighborhood, you know, they pay extra.
Yeah, they do.
You know? And you know, why should I double pay? You know, the prices have gone up recently anyway. You know, look at the gas price, you know, so I don't need to double pay for anything else.
Well, that, when people ask me, I say it's double taxation. That's the reason we have HOAs. There's no benefit to the homeowner whatsoever. Get that in your skulls, because these were not designed for you, the homeowner. These were designed for the local municipal government so they could get double taxation. They're going to take the tax dollars that were originally designed to provide you with services like street maintenance, street lights, trash removal, all of that wonderful stuff. But then you pay those taxes, but then you're going to have to pay the association to provide you the services that those taxes were originally designed to provide you with. And the government just pockets the money. Sure. You're still paying for it twice.
But, you know, I will never, ever forget what a judge in St. John's County told me, a circuit court judge. And he said to me as follows. He said, you know, in former times, you know, neighbors were fighting with neighbors. He said, that's common, you know, the dog did something bad, you know, the branches of the tree were hanging over the fence and all kinds of stuff, right?
Right.
He said, but I had the two neighbors in front of me, in front of the bench. They were arguing. I ruled on the case. They were shaking hands and everything was good. He said, nowadays you get two attorneys in Armani suits in front of my bench who will prolong the whole issue.
Right.
And in the end, they make a lot of money and the two owners are hating each other, or they hate the association or whatever. Right. There's no peace, there's no handshake, no nothing.
Yeah.
You remember what I always say, in former times, you got your neighbor in need, you brought him chicken soup and cookies and wished him well, right? Nowadays, you serve them with liens, foreclosures, and lawsuits.
What happened
That's
to us? Humanity.
What HOAs did to people and what they did to neighbors.
You know, you're right. And it's so I go back to what I've said. It's a flawed concept. It's not improved our lifestyles. It's not improved our living. It's not done anything for us. It has been
negative. In my opinion, for the government and for the service providers who make lots of money.
They're the ones who benefit from it. We're stuck with the bills.
Well, what do you think, if you look at budgets, right, and I see quite a few, you know, you say you pay monthly maintenance fees, right? So the word maintenance fees would imply that this money you pay is used for the maintenance of your community, correct?
Right.
No, not so. Because you have budgets where 70 and 80% of the money is actually paid to service providers, starting with
management
funds, starting management, starting all kinds of things. But maintenance or landscaping is only a small thing on the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? And so don't call it maintenance fees, because only a small percentage is in the end ending up really being used for maintenance.
It's absolutely correct. And again, I go back to, this is a flawed concept. The homeowners
sure.
have been lied to. They've been sold a bill of goods. And there's nothing but hate and discontent. And you're being forced to live in it.
Right. You know, and then when you see the good owner-friendly bills filed in the legislature, these same service providers, like the lobbyist for the Community Association Institute, comes and says, oh, we have problems to fill the board. You know, you can't demand this and you can't demand. Nobody wants to run for the board. And, you know, you make it even more difficult now and blah, 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 you know. And what's the deal? You know, I liked the answer of at a recent committee hearing in Tallahassee, where Travis Moore, the lobbyist for the Community Association Institute, came up with this whining again. Oh, you know, we have problems here. How can we find five people to do a fining committee as you now require. Hmm? And you know what the legislator said? You know, if you can't fine five people for the fining committee, your association should stop fining.
Actually, it should stop fining. It's unconstitutional, guys.
Right. But, see, here in Florida, the attorneys who make big money out of fining, that's one of their biggest incomes, have avoided this case going to the Florida Supreme Court.
Right.
Because if they lose in lower court, they will not appeal it.
Right.
So it will never reach the real high court, which could say, hey, it's unconstitutional. You know, because our constitution says only government entities can fine citizens. You know, and an HOA or a condo association is definitely not a government entity. You know, because if it would be a government entity, the owners would have a lot more rights than they have now.
With Gilman, the Gilman case, which is the first lawsuit, was in Virginia, and the CAI has repeatedly said, "Oh, well, the judges, the courts have not affirmed their decision." I said, well, they don't have to affirm it. They've already said it is unconstitutional. Oh, no. They have to affirm it.
No, they don't.
But they, you know, they come on the show and say that, and I say, no, they don't have to affirm it. And they insist, well, I'm the lawyer, you know, and I tell you they have to affirm it, right, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is that Fred Goldbecker, who's the attorney who litigated that case, had been wanting to get that case back to court. And every time anybody in Virginia tried to take that fining case back, they dropped it. The association dropped it. CAI said, drop it, don't do it. Because if it went back to court and the court said it is unconstitutional, they have nothing to fall back on. So they're playing ring around the roses with that, lying through their teeth, of course. But take it to court. Make sure that you have both cases there and that we have Florida.
Yeah, but it's as well a matter of money. Because, you know, taking a case to the Supreme Court,
no, I know.
You need to be a very rich guy.
I know.
Because you need hundreds and thousands of dollars just, you know, to get in the courtroom.
And I need hundreds of thousands of dollars to extend this show beyond where we are now.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, time's up. Time is flying by when you're having fun. So,
I know it is. Yeah, and I want
to. An hour is 60 minutes, and that doesn't change.
I know. It's always fun talking to you.
Not even some morons in Washington can change that. Thank you very much.
You don't think, huh?
No.
Thank you so much, Jan.
They possibly try.
Good luck. I hope you'll come back once you've got all this legislative stuff going through.
And yeah, once we know which bills are law and which are not and what happened, then we can make a nice show. And I can tell you for 60 minutes or an hour, depending on what you like, what happened in Tallahassee this year. And I think it will be very interesting because we have as well elections coming up in November, so all the legislators want to look pretty good for their constituents. So we'll see. Thanks for having me, and stay warm.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Thank you, Jan.
Hello.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of...
Hello?
Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.